You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
At 4 minutes past the hour at 3 o'clock, it is a gym class coming your way on the midweek Wednesday edition of the show here on KGYM. Scott Unash with you. Buttons on the other side of the glass. Mark Dukes joining all of us from his back porch in the southwest side coming up for you. Chris Liss of RotoWire.com joins us today. We will talk about the world of fantasy sports, fantasy baseball. First look at fantasy football with the new draft class in place. As far as the NFL teams are concerned, speaking of the National Football League, the official schedule drop comes up tonight at 7 o'clock. Leaks are out all over the place. In fact, we know the entire Week 1 schedule as far as the National Football League is concerned. More leaks coming down the line, and it's the worst guarded secret in the world right now, really, as far as the NFL. So we'll talk about that and look at that first week, the first game, which involves the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And we'll talk about that on the program here today as well. And some pretty big news as far as basketball is concerned that just broke within the last hour or so. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you again. 319-366-1600. And that also is our phone number at 319-366-1600. And thank you for tuning in. Wherever you may be, 1600 AM, as well as 102.3 in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, KGYM Radio Stream, your KGYM mobile app. Please download that. And, as always, your smart speaker. We've got the Twins and the White Sox coming up tonight after Dylan Cease, a little bit of a slow start, but then was very good after that, and the White Sox offense got going, and the Twins bullpen, unfortunately, Mark, did what the Twins bullpen has done for most of the year. Sorry to bring that up to you, but we've got it tonight at 6:30, game number two of that series from Guaranteed Rate Field in Chicago. It'll be the White Sox and the Twins starting at 6:30 with the pregame, 7 o'clock. With the first pitch, or just past 7 o'clock, anyway. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Scott. Good afternoon, everyone. And you're quite right about the Twins and White Sox. Maeda and Cease were even through five innings, 3-3, and the bullpen of the Twins imploded once again. So, as far as the NFL schedules, very interesting matchups. I'm already getting jabbed by our friend Eugene, who's a big Rams fan. The Bears play the Rams in week one.
Sunday Night Football, I do believe.
Yes, indeed.
Not a real big, not a guarded secret anymore, as far as things are concerned. Because basically you've got blank leak. You've got the entire schedule leaked. It's just not as much fun anymore. I enjoy this night because I like to see who's going to play. We already know the teams and the matchups, but we don't know exactly if they're going to be a primetime matchup, if they're going to be a special matchup, if they're just going to be a Sunday afternoon at 12 o'clock matchup, or if it's going to be the, what do they call that? The Fox game of the week or the, CBS game, whatever. We don't know. And, it's kind of fun to wait there and take it all in, but now pretty much, a third of your schedule is already known.
Yeah, that's for sure. And there's several things about this, I guess. We don't know, the Monday night games, Thursday night games, so on and so forth. And I know you will have your scorecard ready tomorrow.
Yes, I will.
Most prime time games. And what do you think? Cowboys, maybe a couple?
Oh, the Cowboys will get six. We already know they're going to be on Thursday night three times, but it's on Thursday, not as many Sunday. I have a feeling for Buttons as Cowboys. So, yeah, his eyes went up in the air when you said Cowboys. So, yeah, it caught his attention right there. There will be London games again coming up this year. By the way, if you'd like to weigh in, 319-366-1600. Text line available. Phone line available as well. Two London games, week five and week six. It will be the week five game will be the New York Jets and the Atlanta Falcons. That is an Atlanta home game that they're, I don't know if it's, you don't give it up. Yeah, I guess you give it up, but you're going to get financially, you know, vindicated as far as giving it up. And the usual Jacksonville game, it'll be Miami at Jacksonville in London coming up on October the 17th. That is week six. Mark, your Bears will also take part in the Thanksgiving Day game, or games, if you will. Bears and Lions will kick things off Thanksgiving Day. So you will either enjoy ingesting your Thanksgiving dinner with the family, or it will be a it could be a bad day for the Dukes household. So we'll see.
Yeah, we shall see. Are you excited about the release of the NFL schedule tonight? That's the subject of our poll question today at KGYMRadio.com. Brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Thanks to Steve Anderson and his team down there. It's a yes or no question. And we could have asked you the favorite matchup, but I think a couple really stand out in terms of top matchups. Maybe not favorite matchups, but top matchups.
Yeah. The other Thanksgiving games, the Cowboys will entertain the Las Vegas Raiders coming up. That's the middle game. And then the Bills at the Saints from the Superdome in New Orleans will be the late Thanksgiving Day game. There'll be Christmas games this year as well. There'll be a doubleheader on Christmas. It'll be the Browns in Green Bay to take on the Pack, and Indianapolis will be in Arizona to take on the Cardinals coming up as far as that is concerned. And as I mentioned, some of the games kind of leaking out a little bit. We do have the entire week number one schedule out there here at 311. We will talk to Chris Liss of rotowire.com coming up in a little bit, and some other news to get to here as well. But the season will start on Thursday night, September the 9th, and it will be featuring the traditional game, featuring the ring ceremony for the Super Bowl champions, in this case, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They will be at home at Raymond James Stadium, entertaining the Dallas Cowboys. So there's one for Dallas on primetime for you buttons. Dallas at Tampa. I kind of was wondering this morning when I was just kind of getting ready for the day, who was going to be Tampa Bay's foe in that first game? Because there's not, I mean, you would think New Orleans right out of the chute, but then Drew Brees announced his retirement. New Orleans is not quite maybe the draw that it once was. If Drew Brees was still around, Mark, I think it would have been New Orleans at Tampa to kick off the year, but that's not going to be the case.
Yeah, that very well could have been Dallas-Tampa Bay, a very interesting matchup. I think it's in my top three from the games I've seen. I don't know how you feel about the Chiefs opener against Cleveland. I think that's a very interesting game. Cleveland trying to rebuild its defense, and Green Bay, New Orleans. We just don't know what we're going to get out of this game, right?
No, we don't.
Is it going to be Jameis Winston against Jordan Love, or is Rodgers going to be there? That remains to be seen in terms of a storyline. And a couple other sneaky good ones. I think the Chargers, under a new head coach, going to meet the Washington football team coast to coast. Washington defense, very good. And then Miami and New England, I think, is a very compelling. And Seattle, Indianapolis, I think, will be a good one.
As well as Pittsburgh and Buffalo, I think, will be a good one. As well, the Sunday games in the early slot, Pittsburgh at Buffalo, the Sam Darnold game, the Jets at Carolina to take on the Panthers.
That's no coincidence there.
No coincidence there. The NFL does not have a sense of humor. Jacksonville goes to Houston to take on the Texans. No idea what's happening. It's going to be Trevor Lawrence taking on the Texans with only they know who are going to be the quarterback, and I don't even think they know. You mentioned the Cardinals, or Cardinals and Titans, I should say, from Nashville. You mentioned the Chargers in the nation's capital to take on Washington. Philadelphia and Atlanta, the Battle of the Birds down in Atlanta at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Seattle goes to Indy to take on the Colts. Vikings at the Bengals, and a lot of people, and we'll talk to Chris about this, a lot of people are on the Bengals bandwagon. They may be that early form sexy team that is always out there as far as the National Football League is concerned. It may be the Cincinnati Bengals this year with Joe Burrow and some of the weapons that they have gotten for him. If they can keep him upright, I think Cincinnati is going to be a much improved team. We'll see. 49ers and the Lions. 49ers go cross two time zones in the first 2 weeks. They're not real happy about that. You mentioned the Browns and the Chiefs. That's the lead game. That's the doubleheader game on CBS, along with the Dolphins and the Patriots from New England. Denver and the Giants from the Meadowlands. The Packers at New Orleans. And then the Sunday night game, Chicago will be in Los Angeles to take on the Rams at SoFi. And then only one Monday night game. It's been a doubleheader over the last several years. Only one this year. That'll be from Vegas. It'll be the Raiders hosting the Baltimore Ravens. So pretty good week one lineup.
Definitely so. 31-66 on our text line, which is 319-366-1600. What's the point of the NFL schedule release tonight now? You can find it leaked out all over.
Yes, you can. Pretty much so. Pretty much so. Not everything, but quite a bit of it is out there. And, you know, for example, I believe the already been leaked out, the week 5 Chiefs-Bills will be the Sunday night game from Kansas City. I think week 9 is the Chiefs and the Packers. That was the 17th game added in there. Keep in mind, it is 17 games within 18 weeks coming up this year in the National Football League. So I agree with the texter. Yeah, it's not quite as much fun. I would have liked to have seen it just rolled out at 7 o'clock. Don't give me all the leaks. There was a leak at 8 o'clock this morning, basically giving out week 1 of the National Football League schedule. I know that you want to get a little bit of momentum going, but I'm with the texter there.
Matt and Fairfax on the text line. Chiefs Browns will be a damn good opener. Monday night with the Giants is lame. That Giants offense is not going to be too bad. Good receiving core. Saquon Barkley is going to be back. I don't know if it could play any defense, though.
No, hard to tell. We'll see. We'll see about that. And I gotta admit, I always liked the doubleheader on Monday nights to open up the year. I thought that was kind of clever and fun. I will miss it this year. I will miss it this year. Only one game on Monday night. The Raiders? What did I say it was? I've forgotten already. And I closed it.
Giants and...
It's the Giants-Raiders? Let me look. I'll find it here. Monday night is Ravens-Raiders. Ravens-Raiders. Giants are hosting the Broncos on that first Sunday. So there you go. 18 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Gym class rolling along for a Wednesday edition here on KGYM. Chris Liss of rotowire.com is going to join us coming up a little bit later on, and we'll talk a little bit about the National Football League and his New York Giants. Get his opinion on how the draft went for his Giants and other teams, and who's got a good chance of starting right away, who's got a good chance of maybe making some big fantasy headlines right away. Well, besides Trevor Lawrence, I think it's a foregone conclusion Trevor Lawrence is going to be quarterbacking the Jacksonville Jaguars. So we'll see how the rest play out, and we'll talk a little fantasy baseball as well with Chris, and he'll answer your questions at 319-366-1600 coming up in a little bit. Tomorrow, Barry Abrams will join us to talk about the Preakness and all the craziness around Medina Spirit and the Kentucky Derby and Bob Baffert, and Lord knows what else can happen in the next 24 hours before we talk with Barry, but looking forward to doing that tomorrow at 3:30.
Yeah, I mean, they drew for post positions yesterday towards the end of our program. Medina Spirit during the three hole. It's a 10-horse race, and his other entry in the field, by the way, Medina Spirit, a 9-5 favorite, and Bob Baffert's other entry in this in the Preakness is Concert Tour, and that horse is 5-2. Of course, Baffert will not be there.
No, he will not. No, he will not, but his two horses will be there, and we'll see how they do, and we'll talk with Barry about that. Maybe our most anticipated segment with Barry Abrams ever coming up on the program tomorrow. And Barry does a good job with us, and we'll talk with him.
He's very tuned in, very opinionated, and that'll be a good segment tomorrow.
Yeah, looking forward to that. 319-366-1600 as we come your way here on a Wednesday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Afternoon baseball going on. The Reds have put four up in the 10th. They lead the Pirates now 5-1 in Pittsburgh in the bottom of the 10th inning. They're going to the bottom of the 9th in Cleveland. The Cubs and the Indians are tied at one apiece. Cleveland will come up in the bottom of the 9th inning to try to win it before they put a runner on at second base. Fourth inning, the Rockies leading San Diego. That by a count of 1-0. One final, the Mets defeated the Orioles by a score of 7-1, and everything else in the majors under the lights tonight, including the White Sox and the Twins, as we mentioned, which gets started at 6:30 tonight on 107.5 FM, the Gym OT. Scott and Mark with you, and we're going to talk to Chris List coming up in about 10 minutes or so. We've got some breaking news, as I mentioned, as far as basketball is concerned. Mark, it's been talked about. It has been rumored for the last several weeks, but apparently now has come to fruition, and that is the fact that the National Federation of State High School Associations has, within the last hour, adopted or allowed states to adopt a shot clock for high school basketball starting in 2022-2023. That states that adhere to the National Federation, there are a very small handful of states that already have a shot clock, South Dakota being one of those, our neighbors off to the north and to the west. But this is the rest of the country, Mark, and this is what the basically the state of Iowa and the Iowa High School Athletic Association, the Iowa Girls High School Athletic Union, have said that they are waiting for, and that would be the National Federation, to come through and say, we give our permission. This is now in our good graces to bring a shot clock to your particular state. Now, is it going to happen? We'll see. I think there was one tweet earlier today from the Iowa High School Athletic Association, and see if I can get that up and bring it to everybody out there. Let's see. This is from the Iowa High School Athletic Association. We look forward to discussions during the 21-22 school year on the potential implementation. If I could read today, it'd be great. Implementation of shot clocks in Iowa high school basketball through our usual rules change process, including the Basketball Advisory Committee, Board of Control, the Girls Union, the Boys Coaches Association, and our member schools. So that is the official statement from the Iowa High School Athletic Association today.
Hallelujah, says 6429 on the text line. I assume that's in response to the shot clock announcement. And this is 35 seconds, as I understand, right,
yes,
Scott?
Yes, 35-second shot clock.
And I say I echo that sentiment. I think it's been needed, whether the two state associations will adopt it remains to be seen. Cost is certainly a factor. I mean, just looking quickly at the cost of shot clocks, Each clock typically costs between $2,000 and $2,500. And with installation, the total cost could range from $5,000 to $10,000. That's a pretty darn big expense for a lot of high schools, especially after what happened in this past school year with no crowds, no attendance, no revenue in that regard. But at least if Iowa adopts a shot clock, school districts will have some time to plan for this financially and otherwise. You also have the cost of a shot clock operator.
Yep.
It can't be, it's got to be a person that's the only thing he or she does. And that's probably $30 a game. I don't know, something like that. So there's a cost involved. There's no question about that. But aside from that, I think it's much needed, maybe more so in girls basketball than boys basketball. I know different teams play different styles, and it could affect some teams more than others. But on both boys and girls sides, there's nothing worse than a team trying to, you know, go four corners and erase 2 minutes off the off the clock to preserve a victory. I know, you know, opposing teams will foul and whatnot, but I like it. I hope it comes about.
I think it is. It is time. There was at one point that I said, and my thinking was no, that it wasn't needed. But things change. Things cycle around. You've got basically players that play a lot of basketball, used to the up and down. Quite frankly, basketball needs a little bit of a shot in the arm, especially I think on the girls' side where basketball numbers have dropped. And I think this will give a little bit of a shot as far as participation numbers are concerned. You get up and down the court a little bit more, you're going to have to play more people. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And I agree with you. I think it will probably, the girls' game will be affected a little bit more than the boys' game by this. 35 seconds, usually in a boys' basketball game, especially, and I'm not even going to say at any level. I think it's just any classification. You're going to see the ball go up more often than not. Where it's going to be a big difference is going to be at the end of halves and at the end of games. You're not going to see a team with a 6 to 8 point lead or whatever it is with 2 minutes to go, Mark, go into the deep freeze anymore. And I think it's probably better overall for the game of basketball, to be honest with you.
Yeah, there's going to be some strategy involved too. And when you have a 35-second shot clock and a team can effectively press and force the other team to take 8-9 seconds off the clock, then you got only 26, 27 seconds to get up a shot. You need to get into your offense fairly quickly in that scenario. We see a lot of college basketball teams do that. Fran McCaffrey tries to do that quite a bit at the University of Iowa with that press that he uses. A lot of different aspects to it. 1626 on the text line. I like it. Schools have plenty of money. Don't let them poor boy you.
Well, I do like it.
Athletic director lately.
I do like it. John at Columbus Junction. Also, I'll do it. That'll be fun. True. I think it is going to be fun. I think it will be a good time, and I think it will improve a lot of things as far as basketball is concerned. And yeah, it doesn't mean it's going to be adopted right away. It's still a couple years away. 21, 22, yeah, one more year without the shot clock at least. But at least this gives schools an opportunity to make plans. I think you're going to see an overwhelming majority of the coaches for both the boys and the girls say, yep, bring it on. We are ready for it. And there are some of the newer schools that already have. They were looking ahead, and they've already got the shot clocks in place. They're not on. I believe the new school, the Waukees schools have those. Ankeny may have those as well. But I did read that in the Register this past year in anticipation of the shot clocks.
Yeah, and that's forward thinking, that's for sure. And I would bet that other schools have prepared for this, had discussions about it, as well in anticipation of the National Federation making this announcement. So it'd be interesting to see what the Boys and Girls Associations do. I think it'll pass.
64-29. I think most schools would have no problem finding people that would donate to buy the shot clocks. I think that would. They're going to find a way to get them. They're going to find a way to get them. There's no doubt about that. And once they do have them, I will say this: please show the utmost patience for the shot clock operators, because it is not an easy job. It is not. Sometimes you get caught up in watching the game. Sometimes you just happen to hit and reset the shot clock, whatever the case may be. And tell you what though, the two instances that we did games with shot clock, it didn't had very minimal effect on the game, and the shot clock operators did a very good job. And I think in the two day-long basketball jamborees, for lack of a better word, it's not a tournament, but the day-long events, I think the shot clock only went off like three times. So that's not a big deal.
Yeah, but if there is a mistake, unlike college, there's no replays. So unless an official is, or you have someone, you know, keeping track of, how much time is left on the shot clock and the game clock, I can see that perhaps being an issue, but probably not too widespread. 0835 on the text line. I was once part of a game in high school where the other team held the ball for 2 minutes, 23 seconds with 4 or 5 minutes left in the game. I love this. Hope it goes into play.
I can beat that, 0835. Well, you have one instance every year. This past year, there was a game in Central Iowa that a team basically held the ball for 3 or 4 minutes at a time. A team that was trying to pull off an upset felt it was the only way they could do so and held the ball. And, of course, I got the whole shot clock, folks up in arms once again. Hey, unless you were there at the old Linmar gym one night when Steve McGraw held the ball for 7 minutes and 30 seconds, you have no story. I've got the story to top your story.
No, I may have one, but it's not high school related. And you probably remember this game, a game I covered in the field of Iowa Fieldhouse.
Oh, yeah.
Michigan State was in, right? Yep. Judd Heathcote. Thing the Iowa Hawkeyes before the shot clock. And at halftime, both teams were in single digits. I think it was like 8-4, 8-6, something like that. And that was dreadful.
Well, Lute was a big proponent. The late, great Lute Olson, great proponent of the four corners. When you got a lead, and he was going to make you come out and chase and foul, and that was the way basketball was back then. And it has evolved, no doubt about that. Boy, if you had that now, you think right now college basketball is under scrutiny? Just think if there was no shot clock and we still had the four corners with the Dean Smiths and the Lute Olsons and people like that and Judd Heathcote out there. Gene Cady would do that too at times back in the day. There were several Big Ten coaches, and there were several Big Ten games at the old Fieldhouse, Mark, that I remember where there were scores in the 20s and the 30s.
Oh, it was dreadful, wasn't it?
It wasn't great. It was not great. Let's hope. Let's hope that this will come to fruition and go from there. All right, more on that, more on the world of sports coming up, but we're going to take a break and talk to Chris Liss of rotowire.com, and we'll talk some fantasy baseball with you, and we'll talk about fantasy football as well. If you have a question out there, 319-366-1600 on the text line, phone line as well at 319-366-1600. And we'll talk to Chris when we come back here on KGYM.
The playoff-powered rivalries in pro basketball and hockey are bringing new levels of excitement to sports betting. Now, here's your chance to raise the stakes. Sign up with BetMGM using bonus code HANSON, H-A-N-S-O-N, and your first wager is totally risk-free up to $600. When you register with BetMGM, you'll also get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and daily boosted odds specials. Step into the bettor's box and swing for the fences with a baseball wager. Or take some big shots on the hardwood and open ice instead. The King of Sportsbooks has plenty of thrills for every type of fan. Ready to grab your piece of the action? Just download the BetMGM app or go to BetMGM.com and enter bonus code HANSON, HANSON with an O, to get back up to $600 on your very first wager. New customer offer paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older. Iowa only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
You're upgrading your home, planning an incredible master bath and stunning open concept kitchen. But for the backyard deck, something square? Imagination shouldn't end at the back door. Go against the grain for truly inspired outdoor living with TimberTech. Experience design versatility and technological superiority to vastly improve your home improvement. Make your outdoor living space the place to be with TimberTech from Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our menu is just as tempting. That's why friends always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. Stop in today with your favorite people. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue in Cedar Rapids. Welcome back home.
It is 3:37 here on the Gym Class on this Wednesday edition of the program. Thank you very much for joining us. Do appreciate it as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Don't forget throughout the day to listen in for Pardon Our Interruption on KGYM Sports Radio, because we'll be interrupting your favorite hosts each weekday to give you a shot at winning $1,000. When you hear us interrupt any radio show on the gym with the cash keyword, all you need to do is head to kgymradio.com, enter in that hour's keyword for your chance to win $1,000. And guess what? There are multiple times to win during the day on multiple frequencies here on KGYM. Again, pardon our interruption. Go to kgymradio.com for more information on that. 319-366-1600. That is a text line as we bring in Chris Liss of RotoWire.com, and his appearance, as always, is brought to you by I'm On Communications. They are the official sponsor of all things fantasy sports right here on KGYM. And Chris, all ready to go and see the schedule breakdown for his New York football Giants coming up later on this evening, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm not a big schedule nut because, you know you're playing everyone in your division twice. You know you're playing the team in the conference. You know you're playing the team in the opposite conference. So just the order, really, right? It's just like, what do you get Monday night games? You know, who are you playing when? So I don't care about the schedule. I did care about the draft. I was happy with the draft. So, you know, there was that.
The Giants draft, you were saying, you were happy with.
Oh, very happy with the Giants draft. Trading down, getting extra picks, and, you know, getting a really good haul, a first, a fifth, and a fourth for going down 9 spots from 11 to 20. So I thought that was pretty good.
Have you had a chance to take a look at some of these rookies, Chris? And if so, who stands out to you?
Well, Najee Harris is going to, get the workload. And the way Mike Tomlin runs the offense, they just lean on one guy typically. Last year, they didn't really have that guy. Connor was banged up, and the other guys weren't very good. But when Connor was healthy, he got a huge workload. When Le'Veon Bell was healthy, when Le'Veon Bell got hurt that 1 year, D'Angelo Williams got a huge workload. So no matter who it was, that was the guy. And they took Harris in the first round. I think he's going to get, you know, he's going to be among the league leaders in carries. He's going to get 45 catches. He's going to be a workhorse. So he's definitely like the top rookie for, you know, a redraft league. You know, Ja'Marr Chase is reunited with Burrow. That's going to be a good situation. Probably a lot of high-scoring Bengals games with T. Higgins and Chase and Tyler Boyd and Burrow. Looks like he's ready for week one. And then, you know, Travis Etienne is not in a great situation, but I'm still going to probably draft him in some leagues because sometimes you want to bet on the talent and just say, you know, maybe they'll just find out for themselves that he's better than James Robinson and he'll take over that job.
Yeah, I think we said earlier in the program that the Cincinnati Bengals, I think, are going to be maybe the kind of the sexy pick going into the year because of Chase coming in with Burrow and a few other weapons, things like that. If they can keep Burrow upright, though, that's the big thing.
Yeah, their offensive line isn't good, and Burrow obviously coming off an injury. That's true. I think that, you know, the trendy team is the Browns. They like people like the defense. And sort of the power running game, the good offensive line. They had a great offensive line last year. So that's a team that's been kind of trendy. I think the Giants, you know, I'm maybe a homer, but I think the Giants have a chance in the NFC East. It's a weak NFC East. And their defense was good last year. And they just need to improve on the offensive line. And Danny Dimes needs to get rid of the ball. But the rest of the team is good. And I like Kadarius Toney at 20. And they really need the offensive line to – do what it was supposed to. Andrew Thomas is playing hurt. He got him with the fourth pick, and that, you know, that's the guy that needs to, you know, really play well.
What about some of the other quarterbacks besides Trevor Lawrence, Chris? We know what's going to happen with him. He's going to be most likely the day one starter. But Trey Lance in San Francisco, Zach Wilson in New York, and Justin Fields, my Bears draft, are moving up to get him.
Yeah, we traded with the Bears. That was the deal. So I think that, you know, unless they trade Garoppolo, I would guess that Garoppolo is going to start week one. The Niners have a very competitive roster, and I don't know if they think Lance is ready yet. They did trade up a lot to get him at the third pick. So I think that one's up in the air, but I would guess if they're both there that Garoppolo would start week one, although training camp will, you know, they'll have some kind of a battle. I think Dalton, similarly, will probably start week one over Fields, but – you know, Fields looks amazing in training camp. You know, maybe the coaching staff just says, you know what, he's ready. You know, I remember last year the Chargers thought Tyrod Taylor was better than Justin Herbert, and they were only forced to play Herbert because of an injury. And, you know, and then they realized how wrong they were. I mean, in 2017, the Texans thought Tom Savage was better than Deshaun Watson, so they had to make the switch at halftime of week one. So these coaches don't always get it right. But I think most of the rookies – I think Zach Wilson will start from week one. They don't have anybody else. They traded Darnold. I think most of the rookies will not start. I think only, as you said, Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson are the only two guys who are going to start from week one.
Yeah. Chris Liss of RotoWire.com joining us. If you have a question for Chris, football, baseball, what have you, 319-366-1600 on the text line. Again, that's 319-366-1600. And who does Aaron Rodgers play quarterback for next year starting the season? I'm putting you on the spot right now, Chris.
Well, I don't know. Okay, so I don't have a crystal ball, but some of the favorites are Denver. Right? Denver would be a great fit. They have a good roster other than quarterback. They have some pieces to throw back. They could throw, you know, a couple of first round picks this year and next year and the year after. They could throw back someone like Tim Patrick, who's a good receiver, and they could throw back, you know, Drew Locke if they want. So that would be one target. I don't know where else. I mean, obviously San Francisco, that would be crazy if they traded Lance for Rodgers straight up or something like that. So those are a couple of possibilities. As much as I love Danny Dimes, the Giants have a pretty good roster besides the quarterback. I don't think they would do that. I think they like Daniel Jones as a young quarterback. But or he could play for the Packers, right? I mean, he could change his mind. I don't think that's 100% over. Some people do, but, you know. So, or he could retire. But I would say Denver is probably the guess I would make if he's not a Packer.
One possibility, Chris, and this could affect your fantasy strategy, and that is if both Aaron Rodgers and the Packer organizations dig in. and it comes down to the last minute. Maybe Rodgers holds out. What about that scenario from a fantasy standpoint?
I mean, obviously, if he leaves or holds out, Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones got to downgrade him, especially Adams, who was so dependent on Rodgers throwing him every time they get near the red zone. So Adams would take a big hit. You know, we don't know if Deshaun Watson is going to play. You know, he's got some off-field allegations that are very serious, and you could have a season without Rodgers or Watson, two of the top five QBs last year. So that would be pretty crazy. It would be big. You know, Carson Palmer is the precedent. You know, Carson Palmer is on the Bengals. He wasn't as big a star as Rodgers, but he was pretty much a star quarterback, and he refused to play with them. And that was the year they drafted Dalton, and he sat out, and they finally traded him to the Raiders. In the season.
Yeah. One more in football here before we get to baseball. Right now, if you had a draft tomorrow and you had the number one pick, who is your pick?
If the PPR league, I'd probably take McCaffrey. But there is no clear cut because McCaffrey's coming off that injury. Yep. And I don't know that they're going to give him that kind of workload, you know, that he was getting. You know, when he was the best back in 2018 and 19, he was getting 300 carries in 2019. He's not really built for that. And then he got hurt a lot last year. So I guess McCaffrey would be my number one. I think Kamara maybe number two, Dalvin Cook three. But Kamara doesn't have Drew Brees. Maybe Cook two, Kamara three. In a PPR, Barkley four. But Jonathan Taylor is right there. Nick Chubb, Derrick Henry, all the top backs. And I don't think we take a receiver until about pick 8 or 9 or 10 to start looking at. I think Tyreek Hill is my top receiver.
Okay.
In baseball, Chris, what do you make of, four or five no-hitters now at this stage?
Yeah, batting average is at an all-time low in baseball for a couple of reasons. One is the high strikeouts, right? When you get a strikeout, it's an automatic out. When you hit the ball in play, there's like a 1 in 3 chance it goes for a hit, whereas, you know, strikeout's an automatic out. So because of the high strikeouts, batting average is down, and the shift is making it even worse when you put the ball in play. So that's lowering batting average even further. So because there's so many outs, it's easier to get a no-hitter, right? There's only fewer balls in play because 9 strikeouts. So that means out of 27 outs, 9 of them are already, you know, per game on average. It's just an average game. There's 9 strikeouts per team. So there's only 18 outs to get. So you need 18 outs. Well, now you got the shift and other ways of making it harder to get a hit. You know, you just do the math. It's not as unlikely as it used to be. So I think this is going to continue. When you have a high strikeout rate and low batting average, you're going to get a lot of no-hitters. Now, there's more home runs. There's still a lot of home runs, not as much as the last couple of years, but we're like 2016 levels. So we're not in the 1960s era where there was, you know, low runs but not many home runs. But it has never been easier to get a no-hitter, and I think that's going to continue.
Yeah. 234, I think, is where the batting average is right now, which is was like 10 points lower than the lowest of all time.
It's insane.
It is insane. And if you are a owner of Jacob deGrom in a fantasy league, you got to be at least breathing a little bit easier today or yesterday, correct?
Well, it's funny you should ask that because we had Stefania Bell of ESPN, our injury expert on our XM show, and we said what you just said basically to her, and she said, well, the MRI was clean, but she said that nobody has a clean MRI who's been pitching for 10, 15 years of their lives, and that there's always something, and the MRI is just sort of, it's not the diagnostic tool, it's just sort of a confirmation, and that this could be an issue. The MRI isn't the be-all, end-all, and that it's smart that they're putting it on the IL and waiting for this side tightness or oblique tightness, whatever it is, to subside. But she thought, it's obviously good news that they didn't find anything bad, but that he was not out of the woods yet, is what she said. She didn't say anything bad was going to happen, but she just said, don't be so sure that it's, you know, no big deal, I guess.
Okay. All right. 0.68 ERA for Jacob deGrom, by the way.
Yeah, it's great. Well, usually you have the best pitcher in baseball, like Kershaw throwing 92, but he has the best command. And then there's this Noah Syndergaard type or Luis Severino who throws 98. And you're like, okay, here's the hardest thrower. He's pretty good, and here's the best pitcher. Well, in 2021, the hardest thrower is the best pitcher. The guy who throws the hardest is also the best overall pitcher. And that's why you're getting deGrom as – you know, one of the greatest pitchers of all time right now.
Chris, John Means backed up his no-hitter with six more scoreless innings. How good is this guy?
He's good. He was good even in 2019, which was a massive home run year, the biggest home run year ever in a high run environment in the terrible park on a terrible team with a terrible defense. And he was still pretty good in 2019. He was great last summer, and he was good last summer. He had a high ERA, but his strikeout to walk, 42 Ks, 7 walks. And now he's got 53 Ks and 10 walks and a 121 ERA. He's not this good. Nobody is. And he's in a terrible park. He's on a bad team, but he's an ace. He's just, you know, he's not going to be up there with the Scherzers and the Kershaws probably just because the environment is bad.
319-366-1600. A couple more minutes here with Chris Liss of rotowire.com. Mentioned Means. How about the year Danny Duffy is putting together in Kansas City? I don't think he's going to keep this up, but boy, oh boy. If you took a flyer with Danny Duffy, then you are banking in on things right now.
Yeah, I'm bummed out that I did not, and that's the other people in my league benefiting. He's throwing 93.7. The last time he threw that hard was in 2016 when he was, you know, pretty good. I agree he's not going to keep this up. But, you know, I mean, first of all, you've banked the stats that he's got. And I think he's, you know, at least capable. I mean, he never was truly horrendous. He's never had a ERA over 5. He had a really kind of bad year in 2018. But I don't know. I think maybe he's found something that, you know, he can – you know, rest of the year have a 3.75 ERA or something like that that's solid.
True.
Chris, there's been injuries across baseball, maybe more so than usual. I don't know. Scott and I can both cry on each other's shoulders on the White Sox and the Twins. We often talk about Byron Buxton, especially this year, the way he's gotten off to a blazing start. But how in the hell do you get injured running to first base?
I really don't know, and I'm glad you and Scott have that kind of relationship. It's very nice to hear, Mark. But yeah, I don't know. You know, I mean, this drives me crazy, right? I mean, if you see a guy get hit in the face with a pitch, you're like, okay, he got hurt. I can understand that would happen, right? You know, in football, when a guy gets hurt, you're like, okay, it's football. Or a guy crashes into the wall or bangs heads with somebody on a play in the field. But come on, you know, like stretch before the game or something. You should be able to run to first base without getting injured. This is ridiculous. And it's rampant throughout baseball. You're right. And it's very frustrating. Yeah, Luis Robert and Eloy Jimenez both out for the year, basically. It's massive. Buxton playing like an MVP out, you know, who knows, a month? Who knows how long he's going to be out? It's annoying. And I don't know what the explanation is. I read an explanation that too many sugar drinks. I don't want to have you lose any sponsors, but there's a prominent sponsor that they pour the bucket on people's heads after the Super Bowl. And there's a lot of sugar in that. And these guys did an article saying that there's like fructose binds to the ligaments and weakens them. I don't know if it's true, but it said that the ACL tears and the UCL tears, they're way more than there were, say, 20 years ago.
Are they, do they have, Mark, what's our favorite word this week?
I know we have several.
With our favorite horse.
Oh. Picograms?
Yes. Do we have any too many picograms of whatever in these ball players?
Yeah, too many picograms of fructose, high fructose corn syrup, whatever they put in those drinks. I don't know. It was just a guy's theory, but it just, I don't, you know, maybe it's just because I'm so, you know, on this because I'm in fantasy sports, it's my job, but I don't remember when I was a kid looking at the back of the baseball card, looking at Willie Mays and saying, any, you know, games or any seasons that he missed, you know, it seemed like he had a lot of games every single year. And Carl Yastrzemski and, you know, obviously Cal Ripken, and, you know, but Cal Ripken was, I wasn't a kid anymore. But like, the point is like, you know, it just seems like nobody plays a full season anymore. Everybody's hurt.
Crazy, crazy stuff. All the baseball information you need and, soon football stuff at rotowire.com, and tell us a little bit about that before we let you go here, Chris.
Yeah, all the football projections and rankings are already up. All the outlooks for players will be up too soon, but all the rankings are up. I think some of the outlooks are up already. It is rotowire.com/trial. It's a free 10-day trial, mean free. We don't mean, you know, there's no scam here. You don't need a credit card. You just put in your email, You get free access to everything for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, you decide whether you actually like it, because a lot of people do. We still have a business. RotoWire.com/trial.
All right. Hey, Chris, appreciate it. We'll talk in a couple weeks.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right. Chris of RotoWire.com joining us here on the program. His parents brought to you by I'm On Communications. We'll take a break, come back, a little bit of more basketball news for you when we come back here on KGYM.
One of the things that's great about betting on basketball is always finding new player props or game props that you like. And what's cool about FanDuel Sportsbook is you can combine these props with other bets from the same game to score an even bigger payout. It's called a same game parlay bet, and you can only find them on FanDuel. Same game parlay bets allow you to use many different NBA market options like player point totals, rebounds, assists, money lines, and more. Whether you are new or use FanDuel Sportsbook every day, check out NBA same game parlays daily. Same game parlays are just one reason to use FanDuel Sportsbook. Their app is simple to use, they've got great pricing, exclusive always on promotions, and when you win, they'll get you your winnings in as little as 24 hours. If you haven't tried FanDuel Sportsbook yet, new users get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. Just place a bet, and FanDuel will refund you up to $1,000 back in site credit if you don't win. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today and use promo code KUHN at sign up. That's promo code KUHN. Must be 21 plus and present in Iowa. First online real money wager only for risk-free bet. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Restrictions apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
We're in this together, and we will get through this together. The vaccines are tested effective and needed.
Welcome to the clinic. Which arm?
Get your COVID-19 vaccine so we can do this. And this. And this.
We are now boarding flight.
Together again, because we got through it together.
This message, sponsored by the Helmsley Charitable Trust, aired with the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Back with you in the gym class at 3:56. Todd and Alex coming your way next here on KGYM. The Twins and the White Sox tonight at 6:30 on the Jim OT 107.5 FM. Not great news today, Mark, as far as a pair of former Big Ten basketball women's basketball players of the year. We learned earlier today that Megan Gustafson was waived by Dallas in the WNBA, and now Kathleen Doyle has been waived by the Indiana Fever of the WNBA.
Yeah, tough news for those two women. Obviously, no way of knowing whether they will catch on with another team. Overseas is certainly a possibility. Gustafson has played overseas, but, you know, the Dallas franchise had the top two picks in the WNBA draft in April, and they went 1-2 with 2 6'5" players. So maybe the writing was on the wall there. Not that Gustafson couldn't have competed with them, but drafting 2 6'5" players with the top two picks told you what Dallas's needs were.
At least what they were thinking out there anyway. And so, well, you never know. Megan was brought back by Dallas. Maybe it'll happen again. We'll see. And also, by the way, Barry Abrams joins us tomorrow to talk Bob Baffert, to talk about the Preakness, Medina Spirit, everything in horse racing. Looking forward to that coming up tomorrow. Ed Carpenter Racing, our friend of the show, Ed Carpenter, by the way, Mark. For his number 21 car for Ed Carpenter Racing for the Indianapolis 500 is going to be sponsored by Bitcoin.
Aha.
It's got little Bitcoins on it. It's a very attractive car. But I thought I'd just throw that out because we had the whole Bitcoin talk yesterday.
Yeah, as we learned yesterday, they're worth quite a bit more than what they were originally, and that'd be an interesting paint scheme, I think.
I got it right here in front of me. It looks very nice. Buttons even liked it. I showed it to him. So he gave it the thumbs up of approval as well. So there you go. All right. Twins Sox tonight at 6:30, 107.5 FM. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Barry Abrams joins us as well. Have a good night, Mark.
I will. Talk to you tomorrow.
Todd and Alex next right here on KGYM.
Today, I'm taking it to the streets to give people the good news. Oh, excuse me. Hello. I'm Flo from Progressive. And did you know?
No, I'm just waiting for the bus.
So then you have time to hear about how with HomeQuote Explorer, you can check if you're paying too much for home insurance.
Yeah, if I was interested in talking to you, which I'm not.